Egyptian-American author Mona El-Tahawi started hashtag MosqueMeToo to give Muslim women an outlet to speak about sexual abuse they experienced while on the Hajj, the annual Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca. Mona, thanks for being with us. What sparked this need for hashtag MosqueMeToo?
The first week of February, Marco, I read about a young Pakistani woman called Sabika Khan and a Facebook post that she created about being sexually harassed at Islam's holiest site in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Now, this was a sadly familiar story to me because back in 1982, when I was 15 years old and my family had just arrived in Saudi Arabia, we went on the Muslim pilgrimage, the Hajj, and I was sexually assaulted twice. And I've shared the story with several Muslim women. But to read about Sabika's experience and to read that her post on Facebook had been shared at least 2,000 times, and that so many women were still going through this awful experience of being so terribly violated in our holiest site, you know, during these religious rituals, really upset me. So I began a new thread on Twitter, and I asked fellow Muslim women around the world to share their experiences under hashtag MosqueMeToo. I had heard that there was a hashtag ChurchToo in which Christian women shared experiences about being sexually harassed and sexually assaulted, you know, in Christian sacred environments. So I wanted a similar space for Muslim women around the world.
And so what kind of responses did you get, Mona?
The responses, Marco, have been incredible because very soon after I created hashtag MosqueMeToo, Indonesia, which is the world's largest Muslim country, woke up. So it began to spread like wildfire.
Like that same day that you posted?
Just 2 or 3 hours after I posted it. It was an amazing thing to see. And, you know, I would sit there and translate from Indonesian, you know, on Twitter. And many of the tweets would be saying, oh, my goodness, I had no idea this was happening. Is this true? Is this happening? And then Indonesian women saying, yes, this happened to me. And then Muslim women in India and Pakistan began to tweet about this in Urdu. And then Muslim women in Turkey and Turkish and in the Middle East and Arabic and so on and so forth. And it quickly went viral. And the responses were, you know, very sad, obviously, and heartbreaking. But at the same time, really encouraging because, you know, Muslim women have a voice. And if we don't hear that voice, we have to ask why. It's not because they're voiceless, because no one is voiceless. It's because they're not often given a platform, or usually the men of the community pretend to speak for all of us. So I love the way that Muslim women took on hashtag MosqueMeToo, and it just spread and went all over the world. And to this day, you know, it's more than a month later, Muslim women are still posting under hashtag MosqueMeToo.
Did you get any response from Muslim men? Like, I don't want to generalize, but did Muslim men go on the defensive?
Oh, my goodness. From the first half an hour, 10 minutes, you know, as soon as it appeared. And of course, you know, I even listed it in a few tweets where I would take a screen grab and just kind of give the top 10 excuses. And the first one was, you're just trying to make Muslims look bad. There is nothing in this for me. It's incredibly difficult to expose or to reveal that you were sexually assaulted under any circumstances. So that was obviously ridiculous. Others accused me of being a Zionist agent. Others accused me of getting money from, you know, all kinds of people and groups that they claim hate Muslims. And this, of course, was all just an attempt to shut this down. My message to all of them was, it's not me or Sabika Khan or any of the Muslim women who make Muslims look bad. It's Muslim men who sexually assault women who make us look bad. Now, to their credit, some Muslim men have wrote back and said, I'm so sorry this happened to you. Because of your movement, I began to talk to my mother, my sister, my daughter, you know, and I've discovered to my horror that this happens and we must have this conversation more and more. And that is really what, you know, one of the goals of this movement I began has been.
I thought hijab, the veil, the symbol of piety, was also considered something of a security blanket for Muslim women. Now, I don't know how many women in hijab have been assaulted in Mecca, but if some Muslim men don't recognize that, what does that tell us?
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons that are given to Muslim women to promote the hijab, which is basically, you know, to be covered up from head to toe except for your hands and your face, is that it will protect you from sexual violence, which of course is absolutely false. It won't. I was dressed in the way that I was supposed to be dressed, and this did not protect me. Because this is not about the way a woman dresses. This is not about where a woman was. This is not about sacred space or secular space. This is about patriarchy, enabling and protecting misogyny that allows men to sexually assault us. So whether it's in Mecca when I'm on pilgrimage or in a nightclub, because, you know, less than a month after I began hashtag MosqueMeToo, I began another hashtag called I Beat My Assaulter, because I was sexually assaulted in a club in Montreal, Canada, And this time around, I grabbed the man who sexually assaulted me and I punched him between 10 to 15 times. I beat him up in self-defense and it was glorious.
You literally beat your assaulter?
I literally did, Marco. I grabbed
What was his response?
I think he was not expecting this because he grabbed my ass and then quickly walked away. And I turned around in the club and I could tell who he was because it was all couples. I was dancing with my beloved, so it was all couples around us. So this was the solitary man walking away, so I knew immediately it was him. I grabbed him from his shirt and I think he was so taken aback that he stumbled and I sat on top of him. And he basically just protected his head as I was punching him. He didn't try to fight back. You know, this is an interesting thing because I've thought about this so many times since. It's acceptable, he thought, for a man to grab a woman's backside in a club. But I know he didn't stand up or try to stand up and punch me, for example, because it's not acceptable to punch a woman in public anyway. So why is it acceptable to grab her backside but not to punch her? For whatever reason, I took advantage of that and I took him unawares and pinned him down, and I punched him. And all the time, Marco, I was yelling at him, don't you ever touch a woman like that again. And it was literally the rage of 50 years, you know. And I think that this hashtag MoskMeToo moment is a really important lesson to patriarchy, but to people around the world, that there is a growing wave of women's rage. And we are putting men on notice. We are done.
As to hashtag MoskMeToo, are you getting support from outside the Muslim community? Has this built a bridge between Muslim women and women in the larger Me Too movement?
Well, the first women I heard from were women of different faiths. So, for example, some Hindu women, some Sikh women, and many Christian women have written and said, you know, we're sending you solidarity because this is a struggle for all of us. Mm. And some women would send me stories of being sexually assaulted at various Hindu and Sikh temples in India. But, you know, the thing about hashtag MeToo and what I hope is the strength of the movement is that it's not led by a particular group of women, because hashtag MeToo was begun in 2007 by the black feminist Tarana Burke to show solidarity with women who've survived sexual violence as she had. And then it got another round of hashtag MeToo about the abuse at the hands of Hollywood producers. So MeToo belongs to everyone. And it's really important to take it back to the roots of Tarana Burke and say, this is for all women, working class women, queer women, women who are domestic workers in various countries where no one hears their voice. And, you know, women in all kinds of communities, especially marginalized women. So that was my hope when I began Mosque Me Too, so that Muslim women don't feel excluded from a movement about Hollywood actresses, because this is essentially a movement about women everywhere and our ability to expose sexual violence.
When is the next Hajj, Mona? And how do you want Muslim women to carry hashtag Mosque Me Too into Mecca?
Right. Well, the next Hajj will be in the summer, sometime in August. And I have a message to my Muslim sisters, and it saddens me to say this, that you're going to go on this very special pilgrimage where, you know, it's the fifth pillar of our religion. And many of you, just like I did when I was 15, will think that you're going to the holiest place in the world and therefore you will be safe. And sadly, that's not the case. Prepare yourself for sexual assault. But, you know, in the meantime, I also have a message for the Saudi authorities, because the Saudi authorities administer the holy sites. Islam obviously began way before Saudi Arabia was a country, but the Saudis, for all intents and purposes, act like they own the holy site. So, okay, accept the responsibility that comes with it. So I would like the Saudi authorities to launch a campaign about sexual harassment and assault in Hajj. I would like the women guards that they have positioned across the holy sites to do more than just yell at women about making sure that we're covered up properly. I would like them to train Saudi police officers to be better prepared to help women who want to report sexual harassment and assault. One of the men who sexually assaulted me in 1982 was a Saudi policeman. Wow. And this is even worse, of course, because he's supposed to, quote unquote, protect women. I would also, and this is incredibly important, I would like the imam of the Grand Mosque in the run-up to the Hajj, so ideally the week before Hajj, to give a sermon from the Grand Mosque in Mecca saying, Islam demands the respect of women, Islam demands the equality of women and men, and in Islam, you cannot sexually assault a woman anywhere, especially in the holy sites. And this is a sermon to remind Muslim brothers and sisters coming to the Hajj that women must be respected everywhere. That would send such a powerful and incredible message around the Muslim world.
Egyptian-American writer Mona El-Tahawi, great to speak with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Marco, and for covering this important issue.